Please be seated. I guess the first thing that comes to mind on this beautiful Easter morning is, where in the world have all y'all been since Christmas? I'm just kidding. Sort of. I've told you oftentimes how difficult big days like this are for old preachers. Holy Week itself can be pretty daunting with all the services and all the things that we have to do. And of course, I've got to prepare this all-important Easter Sunday sermon. And I know it's a busy time for many of you, too. This year we had spring break thrown into the mix, so I know some of you have been traveling, but even if you haven't traveled, your schedule's been affected by all that, and I know some of you have family in town. I know some of you are planning a big lunch afterwards, and you're trying to get the kids dressed and their pictures taken, all the while plying them full of sugar. I know how difficult it is. It really is a hectic time for all of us, but frankly, I'm looking forward most to that great Paschal nap. One of these days, I will learn not to stress out about all this as much as I do, because the truth is, the Easter gospel this year, well, it's the same as it was last year, and the year before that, and the year before that. It's the same, always. Christ is risen, alleluia. It happens every time. And if you think about it, the Bible really doesn't have that much to say about Easter Sunday itself. It's dark. It's early. There seems to be a lot of running around. There is, of course, this empty tomb, which is important. But for the most part, the reaction to the whole thing is a whole lot of confusion. People don't know what to make about all of this. And for some reason, we preachers, I don't know why, maybe it's ego, but we preachers seem to have this inherent need to make everything new and fresh each year, to shake things up a little bit, as if our words bring life to this story, as opposed to the story bringing life to our words. And the truth is, I probably prepared 4 or 5 different Easter Sunday sermons this year, as I do each year. You'll be pleased to know that I'm not one of those preachers who feels the need to preach all 4 or 5 of those Easter sermons in one sitting. But then yesterday morning, I got an email. It was an email from my seminary. And when I got that email, I changed things up a little bit. Got an email that to inform the seminary community that my very, very favorite professor in seminary, the Reverend Dr. Don Armantrout, had died yesterday morning. Don Armantrout was a character. He was a quirky little Lutheran pastor in this Episcopal seminary who could just make history come to life. I absolutely took every single class that he offered. And when I got that news, I couldn't help but think of an Easter story from one of his classes. And I think it's a story that I've shared with you before. I'm not really sure, but I figure if the Easter gospel repeats every year, maybe I can repeat a story too. But it was probably one of my favorite classes of his. It was American church history. And Don, as I told you, was a little quirky. So Don had this extra credit thing you could do in his class where you could travel with him on Sunday mornings to go to different types of churches around the Suwannee area. Now, if you know anything about Suwannee, it's in southern Tennessee, so as you can imagine, there's probably every kind of faith flavor you can think of. There was a trip to a mega church in Chattanooga. There was a Mennonite gathering in Belvidere, Tennessee. And then, of course, being in that area, there were a lot of Pentecostal and holiness-type services in various cities like Cowan and Groupney Lager, Tennessee. I just love that name. But it was one of those trips to a Pentecostal church where a classmate of mine traveled with Don on Easter Sunday morning. Now, of course, The service wasn't anything like they were accustomed to, but it was Easter, for God's sake. So the message was going to be the same. But you know these Pentecostal guys. Animation and even some yelling apparently is necessary to get the point across. And this preacher was no different. He stood up in the pulpit to deliver the Easter Sunday gospel, and he read. He said, "The angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth. Well, who was crucified? Well, he has been raised. He ain't here.'" That truly is not a joke, and it's probably not a literal translation of the Greek. But the point is, no matter how we try, how hard we try, there are simply times in life where the words we use just aren't big enough. And if you think about that, there's a whole lot of irony in that and what brings us together today. Because I don't care who you are. I don't care your circumstances. I don't care if you're here this morning, if you came here kicking and screaming because your wife made you and you had to put a tie on to boot. But all of us, on some level, came here looking for Jesus. And the Easter proclamation is, he ain't here. Think about that. He ain't here. The tomb is empty, and that's where the good news begins for you and me. Because the real message of Easter is not just about Jesus. It's also about you and me. Jesus has already claimed his new life, and Easter is the call for us to claim ours. And what has always been important about Easter Sunday is not what happens here this morning, but it's what happens as soon as we walk out those doors. Look at the disciples on Easter morning. They didn't hang around the empty tomb. They didn't try to enshrine it. They didn't try to build a monument to it. All that happened centuries later. They did apparently have a lovely brunch later on in the day. But these guys made a different choice. They chose to live. They chose to live fully and to go. To go and tell this incredible story. And that's the only reason we're here today, because of that decision. Easter is about life. And not just life after death. That's the easy part. It's about life before death. Right now, as soon as you walk out those doors, the tomb is empty, which means you and I are empowered to live life fully and abundantly and keep going no matter what. No matter what life throws at us. The tomb is empty, which means we can truly live. Live lives with meaning and purpose, no matter what the world has to say about that. The tomb is empty. And when the earth stood silent and words alone weren't enough, it was that stone rolled away from the tomb that proclaimed for us the very first Alleluia. The tomb is empty. Now go. Go and tell that story. And when we do that, Easter becomes a part of us. And we can't help but see resurrection all around us, even sometimes resurrection in our own lives. It is the promise of eternal life, starting right now, where we're never called to be something we're not, but just to be a better us, a new creation, to live better, to love better, to forgive better, to forget better, to remember, to comfort, to hope, believe, to rejoice, to give thanks better. Just a little bit better than we did the day before. All with an incredible sense of awe and wonder, no matter what time of year it is. And as I said at the beginning of Lent, that is defiance. It is defiance because it is not how the world works. And it's a wonderful thing to defy things as they are and to proclaim something special. It's where we can defy the world as it is and make a difference to it and find peace in it. And if people want to celebrate that with chocolate bunnies and marshmallow chickens, well, that's fine with me. Because Easter in us binds us to a love so deep that nothing can separate us from it. And in turn, we learn to live a little bit better And as dear Dr. Don Armentrout used to always say, you've been redeemed, now go act like it. Why in the world would we ever keep that a secret? Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
He ain't here. Now go. Go. And let your life tell the story. God love you. Amen.